Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I know you've been through a lot of pain, and I feel like some of it's my fault.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 20, A Swing and a Misses.
Ugh.
Delicious. And now here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
And it's all wrapped up in the patriarchy, etc., etc. But every time I see MRS period, I have to stop and think about how you pronounce it because of that fucking R in there.
Mm-hmm. MRSA, that's how. Hi, Tara and Dave.
Hi, Sarah.
First of all, that episode title on a scale of I Am Curious Melrose to 10 is like a 4, but yeah. I'm still mad.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I'm not mad at our Patreon supporters who are getting the following content coming up. Episode 142. We are crazy. That drops May 5th. We are watching Christine Elise in an episode of Cold Case, Season 3, Episode 11. It's called 8 Years. It is on HBO Max. I refuse to call it Max so far.
Not yet.
But if you would like to watch along with us, that is where you may find that episode.
And next Monday, May 8th, we are bringing 2 bonus episodes out from behind the Patreon paywall. It's a McBride double feature as we discuss Again With This 89, Let's Watch Rob Estes and 21 Jump Street, and 114, Let's Watch Lisa Rinna Go Off in Amsterdam on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You may decide to enjoy these with a heavy pour of McBride whiskey. We don't judge.
Yeah, we certainly don't accept. Please peel off that Fugazi label and make your own as God and props intended. And then after that, again with this episode 143, let's watch Kathleen Robertson, aka Claire Chancellor's daughter, in Maniac Mansion. That drops May 12th.
Join us for all of that and so much more at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Now, get into A Swing and a Misses, starting with our C plot. The newlyweds are already hitting the skids. Billy is at home glaring at some work. He is also fucking Captain Morganing with his foot up on a chair so that we can all be certain Andrew Hsu has never done work like this, by the way.
Yep.
It's in the visual aids. When Sam comes home expositing that she thought he would be in New York, turns out Amanda's going instead. And clip two.
I got this dead-end campaign dumped on my lap.
Wait a second. This is my dance studio artwork. Oh, you don't like it?
Don't jump all over me. The client wanted a new spin. Gen Xer appeal, so take a seat. Let's get started here.
I can't. I'm up to my neck in the Baylor campaign.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You don't have any time for this. You're all wrapped up in Mr. Baseball.
Is this what I have to look forward to? You being jealous of every guy I work with.
Just the ones you have the hots for.
There's not one line delivered correctly in that entire scene. Not one.
That's my ite work, I think is what she said. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you being sarcastic? Is that why you have a monotone? Who's your acting coach? Daria? It's just exhausting. Exhausting.
Well, then Jennifer's at the door asking them to a movie, but they have too much work. Sam's taking hers to the office, which is that what we're calling it now? But when she leaves, Jennifer makes the honeymoon's over joke that Billy does not appreciate. And then a writer decides to show off a little. Clip 3.
Hey, what are you working on?
A stupid ballroom dancing campaign.
Like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers? That's not stupid. That's romantic.
I tried depressing. You probably don't know this, but I actually taught ballroom dancing.
Drink!
It's not something really to get excited about.
Well, I'm not a professional, but I know what would get me excited. Cute instructor and tight pants. And some tall, dark, handsome stranger who holds me in his arms all night. Then ask me for my phone number.
It's not a campaign. It sounds more like your fantasy.
But aren't your fantasies what advertising's all about?
Take a dance class. It'll cure you.
Great idea. But you have to come with me. Come on. It'll be fun.
That dance class teaching was season one. So yeah. Someone blew a lot of dust off the show Bible. They found it on a shelf in the bathroom and then decided to have a quick look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I will give Alyssa Milano also credit because her like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, like that Boo Boo Kitty voice is very similar to the one that Thomas Calabro does. So if that was intentional, well done.
Yeah. She saves any scene that she's in. Like sometimes you almost don't notice that it's bad, pointless, and bad.
Yeah.
Because she really, like, she kind of just got here and is still trying. So yeah. MVP probably this week.
For sure. So they find a class that very night. Someone thought it was important to show us Jennifer's frosty lavender eye makeup very close up, which you can also see in the visual aids. She's also in strappy, like chunky heeled sandals that you can see in the visual aids too. It is an extremely 98 shoe, except also they're back. Trust me, as someone who was shopping for platforms, the heely chunky ones are back.
Yeah, I here's what makes them particularly of that time. You've been able to sort of get that kind of shoe all along, but it's the self-fabric covered buckle aspect that makes this particularly late 90s. And I was like, oh yeah, I had a pair of those that I just wore until they fell apart multiple times. I'm glad they're back.
Much as we said earlier, she does what she can, but their banter is boring because half of it is coming out of Billy. And the next day at home, Billy crabbily tells Sam to cover up her strappy dress with a sweater. And she gloats that it won't be cold when she's outside. And in his defense, and you can see in the visual aids, it's a lot for daytime. Like, this is definitely an evening look, in my opinion. Would love to know where she's going, that she's going to be outside. We never find out. I mean, I assume it's a baseball game, but they don't actually say. So he stomps out without saying goodbye. In the courtyard, he hears ballroom music and looks up to see Jennifer swirling around her apartment, holding a broom as a partner. I gift it. Billy smiles up fondly, and we know he likes a weird goofball, so good job to Jennifer for figuring that out. And that night, Jennifer's working at the jazz club at the bar when Billy comes in to show her the campaign that some non-Sam graphic designer whipped up that day. Basically, his idea is two platonic friends going out dancing and falling in love, or at least getting very horny. And of course, Jennifer loves it because it's her idea. And then Sam is there to get Billy for their dinner downstairs. And when she flicks through the storyboard and notes there's no copy, she says the clients will hate it. And Jennifer gives her such a great stink eye. You can see that in the visual aids, too. She is really turning on Sam like the rest of us. Billy starts to pick up everything as Sam apologizes, but Billy didn't think that she would get it. And Sam keeps trying to make peace, asking him to dance. And he's such a good dancer. And he relents. But then she doesn't want to do old fogey dancing like he was doing with Jennifer the previous night. She just wants him to hold her and sway, which what about that is good or bad? That's just, there's no skill involved.
Yeah, just go home and fuck. Oh, wait, you hate each other. Right. Oh, wait, you're not capable of expressing any emotions. Never mind loathing. So fuck off.
Well, speaking of loathing, this is when we cut back to Jennifer giving them some truly world-class furious nostril flaring, which is in the visual aids as well. It's important. So having Diane get Kyle's For dinner the previous night, Billy and Sam are back for lunch the next day, having taken the day off as their current campaigns are wrapping up. Clip four.
So now that it's over, how do you think your campaign with Jeff went?
Well, I think that flashboarding kids seem pleased.
They should be. You put a lot of work into it.
Kind of like you're doing with the Lightfoot Dance Studio photo shoot.
Well, not exactly. It's kind of been fun. You know, I took some classes. Yeah. Got my heart beating again.
That's good. So when you take these classes, who's your dance partner?
Whoever's there. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to call the office, see how things are going.
Yeah, I think I'll check my messages, too.
This actually was not bad, actually, because they're both not that great.
Yeah.
This kind of scene is like the broken clock being right.
Yes.
Twice a shooting day, so okay.
Yeah, exactly. Can you guys both act like you don't give a shit? Definitely. We absolutely can. And we are clearly supposed to think it's tragic that these two vibrant young people are sitting across from each other on their phones, but, you know, it's 2023. This is life. The next day, Sam comes to Jennifer's to tell her again how horny she is for Jeff. Her outfit, by the way, is a tone-on-tone, like, blue sort of vaguely sparkly cardigan with a long, you can't see all of it, but you know as soon as you see the top, it is an ankle-length maxi skirt in a vaguely satiny shade of, like, a similar blue, but, like, a few shades lighter. Was the style at the time.
Yeah.
Sam and Billy even tried to have a romantic day together, but both clearly wanted to be somewhere else, Sam tells Jennifer. Jeff is going to spring training. Shouldn't her obsession go away? And Jennifer notes that he's based in L.A., so, you know, he's going to come back eventually. And then we get this, clip five.
It's like buying a new car. You see one that you really like and you get all excited and you want to take it for a spin. So you start the engine and you slide it into gear and you just love the way it feels. But when it comes time to trade in the old car, suddenly it's hard because you had a history together and you realize that it's worth more than you think and that you probably don't need a new car anyway. So what do?
You keep the old car.
Maybe. Or maybe you just test drive the new one again. Just to make sure.
It's a little laborious, but I get it. And it works on Sam, who does a big smirk. Over to Jeff's. Sam rings the bell and then changes her mind and tries to run away. But whoops, he is right there on the other side of the door. She had to see him. She can't get him off her mind. Him too. She babbles about Jennifer's car analogy, which he obviously does not follow, and then she tries to leave again. They both agree they're going to miss one another, and then she is all over his face, comes inside, they rip each other's clothes off right beside a wide-open window. There's so much tongue. I'm sorry I gift it, but I'm also not sorry. But I will say, there's one shot that I also captured just as a still where she's like, he's lying back on the couch and she's straddling him and he's looking up at her like, I can't believe this is happening to me, which is like, you almost got me. Like, I do think these two have good chemistry. Like, she's bad, but I think he is like getting them there and he does seem like he is really super into her.
Yeah, he sells it and her, like, she looks beautiful the last few episodes. Like, her styling is on point. She has beautiful hair. I have noticed, and this is also in the visual aids, that she has started doing this Brian Austin Green-esque blocking that nobody cares to correct anymore or didn't notice, similar to his bridge of the nose pinch.
Yeah.
She puts both her hands to her hairline and sort of, like, it's sort of an I have a headache gesture, but it's that, like, you'll see it's in the visual aids. And once you notice it, you see that she does it in every scene where she's supposed to be feeling strong emotion because she can't convey it with her face because she's bad.
Yeah.
She looks great, though. And Gautier is really selling it. He is very cute and he could have chemistry with almost anyone. So.
When I saw it in the visual aids that you sent, I thought of it as she's Columboing. Because that's kind of like the, you know, just needs a squint to really Completely.
Yep. One more question. When does acting class start?
So we go straight from here to the very wholesome dance studio photo shoot. Jennifer arriving just as Billy wraps it up once again, or possibly it was the same day as the lavender eye makeup, because there it is again. She is proud of him, but he says she should be proud of herself because she was his inspiration. And then he puts the music track back on and dances with her awkwardly. And there's some euphemistic talk about how well they're doing dance-wise. And then she kisses him right in front of a room full of people he and his wife work with. Sure. Mm.
Okay.
Moving on to our B-plot. Lexi and Peter have a bad time separately while Megan and Michael lurk around the edges. After some terrible pop punk sub music and B-roll with cars that Sarah wants to buy or have given to her, we are at the practice as Megan tells Peter the equipment he ordered for the hospital hasn't arrived yet. He obviously has no idea what she's talking about, and when she shows him the paperwork, he yelps that someone forged his signature. But that's not the only bad news for Peter today. Coop sticks his head in to say he just helped Lexi move out of Peter's and into his place. Just want to remind everyone, Lexi is rich. That's like her whole thing. She does not need to crash with anybody. Go live at the Bel Age. This is what you have money for.
Literally, my note said, why can't she just go to the Bel Age, .. or buy the fucking Bel Age?
Yes. She was rich to start with. Her dad just died. She's even richer.
Brain. This is exactly what my notes said. Like, this is extremely stupid.
But leaving that aside, since we've been talking about Kyle's place going to waste, Lexi could be staying there, or Megan could stop sleeping on Jennifer's pullout couch and move into that basically vacant apartment. Anyway. Yeah. Megan and her, I regret to say, excellent red lipstick, which you can see the visual aids, stalk out. And when she's gone, suddenly Peter thinks he can be pals with the guy his ex is currently shacking up with, Clip Six.
I need a favor. Now, you and I both know that nothing I said or did caused the death of Lexi's father. Now, the answers have to be in his medical records. Well, I was wondering if you could use your Ohio connections to get those records sent out here.
Look, if you think that Tom had some pre-existing condition, you're way off base. He was never sick a day in his life.
He's an obvious type A personality. He's arrogant, aggressive, overbearing.
Hey, that's enough. What you know about Tom Sterling could fit in a thimble. Forget about any favors from me.
Ew! I hate Coop so much. Also, buddy, squinting is not acting. So tired.
I also want to know, based on the tone that he's taking with regard to this question, dude, were you trying to fuck Tom Coop? Because it kind of seems like maybe you were. Anyway, Coop then stomps into Megan's office and declares that he is not sleeping with Lexi. Megan whines that he has time to move Lexi out, but not to spend with Megan. And to be fair to Coop, which he does not really deserve because no one likes him, including me, before the funeral, he did keep asking Megan out, and she kept saying no. So, like, make up your mind of what you want, lady. So Megan blurts that she got assaulted at Michael's clinic last night. Coop didn't even know, and Coop's response is that Michael's clinic is off limits. LOL. I don't think that someone who's not even making a date with you is going to listen to that shit. But Coop defensively says Lexi needs him now. He is all the family she has left, and Megan can't compete with that. And then Peter's visiting the clinic by night because it's not off limits to him, although this may be his last visit, spoiler. He asks Michael how long it's going to be before someone breaks into his car, and Michael's like, oh, you'll hear the alarm.
So good.
Ignoring Michael's attempts to hustle him out, Peter almost immediately finds a defibrillator with a Wilshire Memorial serial number tag that Michael did not bother to remove. And when you see this in the visual aids, like, it's so shoddily stuck on, like it's supposed to look like a metal tag that is bolted to it. But you can see where, like, the sticker is underneath. Mm-hmm. Like, there's if it is this easy to stick it on, it would be very easy for Michael to, like, peel it off. And this is pure carelessness that he hasn't, frankly.
Mm. Yeah.
There are serial number tags on a bunch of other pieces of equipment, too. And Michael claims the WM is for Wallace Mancini, Michael's uncle, whom Michael dedicated.
Wallace.
Michael dedicated the clinic to him. Truly one of his worst lies ever. Like Walter, at least. I mean, something. Mm-hmm.
But the look that sort of ripples across Calabro's face, that he's like, he quickly thinks of a lie. He starts to say it. And while he's thinking of it, he's like, this is bad, but I committed.
Right.
All in character as Mike. It's so good. He's so good at being Michael Mancini, truly. Mm-hmm.
He really is. Peter yells that he's calling the cops and stomps out. And when Michael goes after him, they're both accosted by Spider and Co. Spider says Peter can't come into his neighborhood and shake down his friends. Michael calls him off, saying Peter's a doctor. Peter realizes Michael's made some very bad decisions. Clip 7.
You running a gang now?
No, look, I don't know what the deal is with this punk.
Hey, I'm your guardian angel, Doc. It's a badass neighborhood. Offering you some protection.
Spider, you don't have to protect me from this guy. Hey, meet Dr. Peter Burns. He's my personal hero. You know, he donated all the medical equipment to the center.
Sorry, I didn't know. Yeah, Doc Burns. Got a nice beam of that, too.
Cheer up. Hospital gets a great tax write-off, and board of worship the ground you walk on. Everyone will think as much of you as you do.
Sick man, Michael.
Nice to meet you, Spider. You have a nice night.
Oh, Spider. You didn't pop his car phone, did you?
Nice to meet you, Spider.
I keep forgetting that this guy's name is Spider, which was also my husband's character's name when he was a villain on Loving back in the 80s. So I find myself drifting off wishing that this had been a crossover event. Mm. My Melrose fantasy husband and my actual husband in the same scene. What would not be to love, I ask you.
Indeed.
Alas, we're in this stupid plot. Sigh.
Yeah, speaking of which, we're still in it, sadly. Megan directly disobeys Coop and shows up at the clinic the next night only to get scolded by Michael about going there as well, because if anything ever happened to her, he couldn't live with himself. She thinks he should close the place, but he says he's like Albert Schweitzer teaching basic hygiene. Like, even if he were treating unhoused patients, which as far as we've seen, he's not, like, they know how to be clean. They just don't have resources. Like, you're not actually a missionary here, guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, clip 8.
But, that is not the reason you came down here. Now, don't get mad, okay? But you have that somebody called me a hooker look.
No. But they might as well have.
Okay. Her reaction to this is like this fond smile at him, which is bizarre, given that lately the one calling Megan a hooker is Michael Mancini, his own fucking self. And she's like, oh, you. God. Anyway.
Yeah.
They go on. Clip 9.
You know, I hate that you know me so well.
Well, what can I say? With love comes knowledge. So come on, what did Coop do now?
I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I just, you know, I just don't feel like I fit in anywhere.
Since when? Since you started dating Mr. Ivy League?
Well, you know, I mean, I grew up in a trailer park, and after that, well, forget it. You know, it doesn't exactly make it for great dinner conversation.
Megan, give yourself a break. You were a wonderful woman when I met you. And you are a wonderful woman now. And don't let Coop or anyone make you feel like you don't measure up. Okay? Come on.
Yeah, see your previous comments. But also, the thing that doesn't make for great dinner conversation is that Coop is a human flatline.
Yep.
Does anyone want to point that out?
Guess
not. Because we're supposed to think he's like a 5D chess gamer, but whatever.
Right. Also, is it new information that he's an Ivy League grad? Because I don't feel like we've heard that before.
Yeah, me neither.
Where do you suppose he went?
Penn.
So they hug.
Sorry, Penn grads.
Sorry, Alan Sepinwall. They hug, they briefly kiss, and then she stops him and leaves.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The next morning, Coop comes by Jennifer's place to check on Megan. She cheerfully blows off his concerns. When he re-explains that Lexi needed a place to stay, no, she didn't. She is rich. Megan says she did too. So she went to see Michael at the clinic. That line doesn't make sense. She didn't stay there, but she wanted to tell Coop where she was, and I guess she did. And it gets exactly the response that she had hoped for. Clip 10.
Okay, now I'm fuming. You know, Michael's bad enough, but that neighborhood of his is even worse.
Look, I'm not some teenager that just got off the bus from Iowa, okay? I've been around the block a few times.
But I am just trying to protect you.
Oh, from what? From the neighborhood or from Michael?
From both.
You know what? He's not always the enemy, okay? At least he had time for me, which is more than I can say for you.
You know, you're being petty here, Megan. That's not like you at all.
I can't compete with some country club-hopping sorority girl who was born with an entire set of silver flatware in her mouth.
Come on, do you really think that matters to me? All right, sure. You know what? At one point in my life, it did. But that is ancient history.
Then why is ancient history still sleeping in your bed?
Megan, stop this.
Look, I can, okay? Because maybe someone like Michael is more my speed. You know, someone who can accept me for who I am.
He's called you a whore more times than he's called you a lady. I would hardly call that acceptance.
Yeah, but you know what? He doesn't expect me to be someone that I'm not.
Damn it, Megan, neither do I. I care about you. The last thing I want is for you to end up with Michael.
Then the first thing you have to do is get your ex-wife to move out of your apartment, because until then, I can't promise anything.
About fucking time, Megan. Jeez.
Honest to God. Like, so stupid. Mm-hmm. Especially considering this is a shorter season than usual. Like, the amount of wheel spinning is extraordinary.
Yeah. Also, if you have to announce that you're fuming, you shouldn't have to announce that you're fuming. It's like that commercial where the she has to point out, like, you don't say gasp, you just gasp.
Mm-hmm.
that's Coop.
At the practice later, Coop finds Peter sitting at Coop's desk and fight, fight, fight. Clip 11.
You got a bad sense of direction, or you just think you own the place?
It's a shame I don't. Because then I could kick your devious butt out of this practice for withholding vital information. Tom Sterling's medical records. He had uncontrolled high blood pressure, 210 over 130. He overloaded on salt and refused to take his medication. But you already know that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. So what's my prize?
The guy was a walking time bomb. You were just going to bury this file, weren't you? Probably because you want Lexi all to yourself.
You know what, Peter? You should really ask questions before you make assumptions.
Coop's right, Peter. Leave him alone.
Your father had a pre-existing condition. He could have died at any time.
I know. Coop told me this morning as soon as he found out.
Perhaps I should leave you two alone. Feel free to use my office, but then again, you already do.
What? ooh? I'm sorry. Ooh, what?
I know. He doesn't even rise to the level of like an ooh, because it's impossible to care about him in any way, yeah. Truly.
The fact that this conversation happened off screen, like now that every time that happens, it's like either the writers were too incompetent to get it to work, mm-hmm. or they wrote it and they were like, and who delivers this line? Oh, Jamie Luner. You know what? Mm-hmm. Let's just refer to it. Give the line to Jack Wagner. He could dig us out of this.
Yeah.
And he just looks like, oh, outsmarted by Coop again. Like, no.
No.
This isn't how the world works.
No. So Coop leaves, and the fight gets a lot more boring. Lexi's there to acknowledge that Peter did not kill Tom, but it still doesn't excuse all the stuff that he actually did do. And then Megan
cover
returns.
Up an attempted manslaughter / driving under the influence charge?
Hmm.
Is this the part where she says she has to go back to... Oh, no, never mind. Sorry, we'll get to it.
We will. So Megan returns to the clinic that night, smiling at Michael through the blinds like a child. He waves back with his rubber glove on, which is creepily, like, dark beige. It's so unseemly.
Like, yeah, ooh.
White or, you know, a definitely not anyone's skin color, like blue mm-hmm. or purple. Anyway.
Yep.
Then, suddenly, fucking Coop is there, clip 12.
Please don't go in there.
How did you know I was here?
Two hunches, actually. The second being that...
What's that peanut brain want now?
We belong together. Look, I checked with Amanda. There's a free apartment in the building. Let's do it. Let's make a commitment. That's been our whole problem. There's been too much of the thinking and analyzing, and it's time to just make the leap. I love you, Megan.
Who cares?
Move in with me.
Well, will I have to fill out a change of address form if I'm just moving apartments?
I mean, she's boring as fuck too, but at least she has some interesting lipstick, and I want better for her than him.
Yeah. I've lost track of what the vacant apartment is because it's not Kyle's. Like, no one is currently living at Jane's old place. And no
oh, okay.
one
is. Okay, so they're in Sydney's old place, which is now an expanded one bedroom.
Sydney. Okay, Coop lives in Matt's old place that he okay. moved in there. So by my count, there's actually two vacant apartments in addition to Kyle's because I don't think anyone has moved in on Jane's place. And there's also...
Right, Samantha was living there, and she moved out to live with Billy.
Well, since then, Craig was living there. Craig was living in Sydney's place, in Sydney's ground floor place. The Sydney's right. original apartment is where Jennifer is now, the one that's upstairs.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no that's one, what I always think of as Sydney's. Oh,
right,
God.
But no one's moved into Jake's place either.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right. I forgot Jake even existed. Sorry, buddy.
Anyway, whatever. Michael runs out after Megan, leaving his patient with a half-finished cast on his arm, which you can see in the visual aids. And Coop to Michael's all, better luck next time, except there's not going to be a next time. And as usual, no one's on your side. Coop, shut up.
Yeah.
For some reason, the last will and testament of Ohio resident Tom is being read in Century City, California. He willed Coop a money clip, which the lawyer, Jordan, helpfully brought to the reading. Coop is touched. And then the lawyer asks Coop for a word, clip 13.
Lexi, you want to wait?
No, I should get back to work.
What work?
Doing what? For whom?
Being boring?
Yes.
Yes, better get back to that. Who else could possibly shoulder that load in this cast?
We still don't know what her fake job is. who she's doing this work for, in what capacity. And also, mm-hmm. I just want to remind everyone, since they went to the trouble of making a sign, it's Sterling Conway Enterprises. Like, where's Conway? Who is Conway? Like, Conway was not at the funeral that we saw. Anyways, speaking of how obsessed Tom was with Coop, let's hear clip 14.
There's a secret codicil attached to Thomas Sterling's will. If you remarry Lexi within the next 12 months and live together as husband and wife, in fact, you will inherit $10 million.
Come on, you gotta be joking.
Not at all. Tom thought you were the only man good enough to marry his daughter. Told me so on many occasions.
No. No, I... been there, done that. You know what? I'm not doing it again.
Well, it makes no difference, Scoop. Money's being placed in an escrow account for 1 year, giving you essentially 12 months to change your mind and marry Lexi Sterling.
Rich
guess
guy.
You don't like coma patients as much as everybody thought.
Rich guys on this show are so weird. Like, what possible difference could it make to Tom after his death, who Lexi ends up with? Like, truly.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where we leave this particular group of idiots for now. Moving on to our A-plot. Christine and Nick scheme against Kyle and Amanda. Content warning for this scene. There is talk of suicidal ideation. We open on Kyle visiting Christine in the hospital. Clip 15.
Dr. Burns told me you had to postpone the wedding.
Get another fucking take. Come on.
Yeah.
Dr. Barnes. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe this was someone else totally separate and then was like, wait, does she mean Dr. Burns? Because who else would know about the... Okay.
Yeah.
Sigh.
Christine did not intend for that to happen, but then she admits maybe she did want Kyle to find her on the tracks and adds that she wishes it had ended there. And Kyle just ignores that suicidal remark to say he heard she's being released the next day. And instead of her going back to New Mexico, he asks her to stay so he can help her this time. Help her what? Like, you're even less of a therapist than Peter. Like, there's nothing you can do for this lady.
No.
But she says she doesn't deserve him, and he gives her a weirdly long forehead kiss, you can see in the visual aids, and tells her to get some rest. But as soon as he has gone, she calls Nick, who is in bed in a motel room, reading boudoir and generally being gross. Clip 16.
Suicide hotline. Nick speaking.
Nick, it's me.
I thought you'd want to know it's working. Kyle's worried about me and doesn't want me to leave town.
I told you could count on him. Man's as decent as they come.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
What did you think? I lied to you?
No, it's just that nobody's ever risked their life for me before.
Ooh, that's so sweet. I'm getting all soft and mushy inside. Just remember, keep that history going. The Gulf War, all the simple things you missed over there.
What do you think I'm doing? I'll never get that war out of my head. I've gone over every stupid detail so many times.
I just keep up the good work, doll. My future's riding on you.
Also, okay. Golf war, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
I like everything about the way they play the suicide and suicidal ideation is really gross, and I would like to think that we would have thought the same when it aired. I think we know a lot better now, and maybe people weren't as put off by this. Then again, maybe people weren't watching the show anymore. I certainly was not.
Mm-hmm.
Although this was not why, but it's just like repellent and flinchy. Like, mm-hmm. I sort of twitch every time there is a kind of joke about this, which there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
In this plot line. So if you guys need to skip over this part, you really are not missing anything that makes any sense.
No.
But with that said, subtracting what is, being written for him, like Nick's whole, like, nobody's watching this noir attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I despised this character the first time around, and now I'm kind of into him because he seems to think everybody on the show is a moron, and he is not wrong.
Mm, it's true. He is a good actor. He was. We lost him. But this is, we're starting to crawl towards a clearer view of what is going on here, to wit, her saying she's gone over every detail of the war so many times, mm-hmm. and saying no one's ever risked their life for her, which, mm-hmm. you know, they did when she was in the war. Just saying. Yeah. Over the jazz club, where a certain Lisa Fisher is on the bill as herself, and good job to her agents getting a lingering shot of her name on the sign outside and people mm-hmm. chattering it inside. Amanda's also there briefly getting needled by Taylor about the wedding before telling Kyle she is going to New York on the red eye, clip 17.
And what happened to getting married?
You're too busy. Nursing your wounded bird back to mental health.
Look, hold it right there, okay? I got the situation with Christine under control.
Oh, so she's going back to New Mexico?
Yeah, eventually, just not right away.
The suicide watch continues.
No.
Come here. How can you be so cold? She tried to commit suicide, for God's sake.
Right. She writes you a note full of clues. I mean, she practically drew you a map of where she'd be. And then she waited for you to rescue her off some train tracks like a bad Western. That doesn't sound like suicide. That sounds like something Taylor would do.
You know what? She wouldn't even be here if you hadn't invited her.
Don't kid yourself. She would have shown up eventually. All roads lead to Kyle McBride.
Oh, you know what? I love you, Amanda. I have stayed by you. I have done everything I can for you.
Right. So there's just one thing left for you to do. Make sure Christine is gone by the time I get back.
Again, don't love the flip tone. She makes a lot of good points.
She does. And, you know, given what they're sort of leaving breadcrumbs about now, I think all of this, like, suicide talk will feel less gross in retrospect. Mm-hmm. Not gross, but at least there will be a different context for it.
Yes.
The next morning, Christine's in a motel bed with Nick, feeling guilty about cheating on Kyle, when there is a knock at the door. Nick immediately goes into the closet, and I got, if I may say myself, a pretty good gif of him closing the door and then Kyle opening it, like, at mm-hmm. this almost the same moment, which, you know, fine.
Yeah, fairy noises off, which is like, this is not appropriate tonally either, but you mm-hmm. you cling to these little moments of enjoyment at this point in season six. So, yes, nicely
you
done.
Do. You do, don't you? And mm-hmm. we also don't know, though, I mean, the reason that she's staying in this motel room is because it's Nick's motel room, but there's no textual explanation of why she isn't just back at Kyle's generally empty apartment where she was staying before, but whatever.
Right.
Kyle has groceries for this motel room that does not have a kitchen as far as we can see, and assures her she has not been calling him too much. It's almost intentionally funny when Kyle comments that the freshly fucked Christine has gotten the color back in her cheeks. Anyway, it's time for them to get back to their lives. Kyle is sorry things didn't turn out the way they had hoped. It wouldn't have changed anything if he had known that she was alive. She didn't know her feelings would still be so strong, and his are too. And she asks if he would just spend the next day with her, just doing normal couple stuff. And he's not even out the door before she's guiltily huffing. And when the door does close, Nick pops back out and bitches that she can't go back to New Mexico now. She says she only claimed to be as a ruse to get Kyle to spend more time with her. Nick's not just in this for the money. He wants to be friends with Kyle again, which, like, friends. I mean, we've already talked about this.
Yeah, we have.
And Christine just has to stick to the plan for the easiest $5,000 she ever made. But it's not as easy as he thinks, according to her. And then we're in New York. An establishing shot shows us we're at the Peninsula. And when we cut into the hotel room, it looks like shit. Like, the Peninsula is a nice hotel. This is like sub-Holiday Inn level. And I say that as someone who routinely stays at Holiday Inns. It's not shade. I'm just saying the Peninsula is nicer.
It looked like they stuck the Peninsula sign on the Milford Plaza, which is, I mean, the last few years it's better. That's where, like, the Westminster Dog Show dogs used to stay mm-hmm. when it was at MSG, like, in the before time. But before that, it was not good.
Yeah. Well, back to their conversation. To Amanda's question, Kyle says Christine is leaving the next night. Amanda says that's good news if he believes it. And instead of saying what he thinks either way, just tells Amanda he misses her. She misses him too, but she has a meeting, so she's got to go unless there's anything else. And there isn't, because then Christine is there in a slinky daytime dress, real theme for this episode. Mm-hmm. Kyle is stunned silent by the sight of her and quickly gets rid of Amanda. Christine thinks he should have told Amanda they were spending the day together, but Kyle pouts that Amanda could care less, which, yes, she made it clear she could. Marine. And as they leave together, Taylor needles them, but without much conviction. And that night, Christine and Kyle are on a boardwalk, Christine gasping that it's been the best day before stopping to sob because it just hit her that this is all going to end. Kyle gravely says they have to appreciate the good time they had together and move forward. She only wants to go back, then kisses him. He is the one to stop it. And then Nick parks outside the motel and watches Kyle walk Christine to her door. Kyle's like, well, bye. But Christine asks him to stay and keep the nightmares away. And sure enough, the next morning she wakes up to Kyle sitting in a chair next to her bed. He's getting ready to leave. She grabs his wrist, variation on the arm grab, but it doesn't work. He says he's going to the jazz club. And to Amanda, she guesses, but he says Amanda won't be home until that night. And Christine will have left town by then. Feels like they're always saying goodbye. And he decides the way to get her past this is with a long hug. And they tell each other to be happy. So Kyle goes home to Amanda's and is splashing water on his face in the bathroom when she appears behind him, because if he had checked his messages, he would know she came back early. Obviously, she is curious about where he was all night, and he tells her the truth. Clip 18.
Look, she's going to be out of our lives forever. She leaves tonight, and she wanted to spend one last day with me.
Is that a written guarantee or just a verbal promise from a crazy woman?
Come on, you know, I was just trying to do the right thing. We went to lunch, we walked around.
Spent the night together, right, you mentioned that.
Yeah, with Christine in her bed and me sitting in a chair. Amanda, nothing happened. Nothing.
I want to believe you, but for God's sake, the woman was in love with you. And you were in love with her.
Yeah, exactly, was. I was in love with her. My feelings for her died a long time ago. Come on, all I did was offer comfort to a woman that can't even hold a candle to you. Amanda, nobody is going to take your place. Not now, not ever. Come on, you walk into a room, all heads turn, but me, my heart melts. You are the only love in my life.
Well, I just want to get off this roller coaster. Start our life together.
So do I. You know, before we can, we have to trust each other. We have to say it. And we have to believe it.
I trust you.
I trust you too.
I don't trust either of you saying that, frankly.
Yeah. I don't believe Amanda trusts you. I don't trust Kyle. I think Amanda deserves better, and I wish she and Peter would just get back together.
Yeah. Yeah. That night, Nick storms in on Christine packing because she will not be part of his plan anymore. Kyle is special and doesn't deserve to be treated like this. And then clip 19.
You are falling for him.
That's the idea, wasn't it?
No, the plan was for him to fall for you. You slept with him, didn't you? I saw you last night. The two of you came in this room.
He didn't touch me, okay? Maybe that's Kyle.
Don't hold your breath.
What are you doing here?
Well, Nick called me. He said he thought you were going soft on us. By the looks of things, he was right.
Yeah, she's getting ready to blow town.
You're not going anywhere, you ungrateful bimbo. This is my plan and my idea, and you're gonna follow through with it to the end. Do you understand? Or does your puny little brain need me to make myself clearer?
Bimbo?
Well.
Okay.
That's where we leave it for today. <It's> so exhausted. He's boobs. Anyway, let's close up by naming our episode MVP. I'm going to say Dan Gauthier making me believe it with that horny look that you can see in the visual aids, and I recommend it.
I'm going to say Jennifer as well. She's not wearing any kind of undergarments, and good for her.
Yes. Yes, there's plenty of documentary evidence of that in the visual aids.
Yes, yes, there is. Yes, a certain chicken is finished.
She's got company. Least valuable player. I'm so sick of Coop.
I am also sick of Coop, but I'm going to say the LVP is actually Tom, because get sick of Coop, rich guy. What are you fucking doing? Come on.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Next time on Again With This, Peter accidentally helps with Christine's scheme, Michael accidentally comes into some dirty cash, and Jeff and Jennifer very purposefully set their sights on Samantha and Billy, even though it's Billy and Mrs. Billy. All of their wrong faces will be, where else, in our visual aids, which you'll find for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. Join us on Patreon for dozens and dozens of bonus episodes. And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about 902 and OMG instead of listening to it for yourselves, which you should never do at any dollar level.
Never.
Here's what you do. Again with this podcast.com/club for all of that extra content. I'm Dead End Campaign Sarity Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Secret Codicil, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is running a gang now? Talk to you next time. Ooh! What? I mean, truly.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.